So basically I finished my residency in Brooklyn again, in 2010. And then I worked in hospitals for like 10 years, almost like entirely in hospitals. And then towards the end of the last 5 years, I did some telemedicine. And then when the pandemic hit, there was like no one prescribing off label. Right. So then I started doing that, and then interest picked up, and then it just became this full-time thing. It just became all consuming. I mean, I was working like 18 hours a day trying to see all these patients because like there was literally no one they could go to. They would tell me, they would come and be like, there's no one else in my state. You have to give it to me. Right. So I've been doing that for like a year and a half now, and I've treated more than 5,000 COVID patients, like who actually had COVID. And then I've also prescribed thousands and thousands of people to like for preventative treatment to like prevent catching it. And then lately I've been doing a lot, like thousands of patients, at least 1,000 or 2,000 patients who have like long COVID and vaccine injuries. So like those two things are really similar. They're both caused by the spike protein. So I've had like, you know, a lot of experience in all of this. And what's happening now is like people, you know, there was all this like pandemic fear porn for like 2 years straight, right? Like 24/7 like fear porn everywhere you looked, on every station, every website, everything, right? They were just like stuffing it down our throat. So like people were, you know, obviously quite frightened, right? And so every, you know, every time there would be a new wave, people would just like rush to the website and buy prescriptions and have something on hand, or get something to treat themselves. And now it's like the complete opposite, right? I mean, we still get a significant amount of traffic coming in, but now it's like way less than it was before. And you know, that's fine. Like I think it was way overblown, obviously. It wasn't killing people the way they were talking about. And people were like afraid for their kids and like asking me like, what should I do for my 5-year-old? And I was like, don't worry, you know, just like let them see their grandparents, like just stop, you know, stop being crazy about your kids and even yourself, like in your 20s, you know, 30s, it's like, it's not a big deal. Right. And even on up to like, you know, most of the people in the US who died were above 80, right? Not even above 65, but above 80. So certainly it was way overblown in that sense, but in another way, it wasn't really, like people don't really understand what COVID really is. Right. So it's not like a killer disease. Okay. What it is, it's like a long-term chronic disease that affects like a huge percentage of people who catch it, maybe like 30 to 50%, maybe even more than that, have some kind of chronic inflammation, and their health is like never the same. It might be mild. It might just be like really mild and you don't really worry about it. You don't really notice it. You just kind of blow it off. You're like, oh, well, I can't sleep as well as I used to sleep, or I'm slightly more anxious or whatever, right? Or you just say like, I'm getting older or something like that. But for some people, it's pretty significant and it like interferes with work. And so like the number of people who have chronic symptoms from COVID and the vaccines number in the US in the tens of millions. Okay. So like, it could be like 50 million. It could be more in the US who have these symptoms, and they go to their doctors and they ask like, hey doc, I have this like anxiety and I can't sleep well, and I'm depressed also, and I have no energy and I can't think as well as I used to. I can't remember things. And they're just told, oh, you're stressed out or whatever. Right. Yeah. And even if they run all these tests, like they might run a bunch of tests. Right. And they don't find anything. So then they're like even more sure that it's all in your head. Right. And the problem is that like, if doctors run tests and they don't find anything, then they just write it off. They're like, oh, well, since I can't find anything with the tests I have, there must not be anything there. But there are tests that you can do. So like there's one company that actually does a test that searches for the spike protein itself that stays in the bodies of people. Yeah, it stays in the bodies of people who have these chronic symptoms, and you can find it. And then you can also find the inflammation that it's causing. And it's like a really specific pattern of inflammation you only see in those people who have long COVID or vaccine injuries. So I think it's really important. So nowadays, I think there's a couple of things that are really important. One is just like telling people that this thing exists. And so like, if you have these weird symptoms or a change in your health of some kind after this, you know, after exposure to the spike protein from a vaccine or from, you know, having COVID at all, then you might want to think that, you know, maybe I have long COVID, maybe it's something that I can treat, maybe I can get rid of it. And it's not just like, even the people who have mild symptoms, right? Like, even those people, we don't know the true toll it's going to take on your health in the long term, right? Like, you know, you see all these reports of like athletes dropping dead. Like some of that may be from the vaccine, some of it may be from long COVID. Like either way, it may be related to spike protein inflammation triggering like heart attacks when they exercise really hard. You know, I think it's more likely with the vaccine, because the vaccine kind of like penetrates deeper into your body. Unfortunately, it's like the spike protein is the bullet. Okay. And COVID, the virus was like, you know, a pistol shooting the spike protein into you. And the vaccines are kind of like a dirty bomb. I mean, it's like a nuclear dirty bomb, you know,
that far like, worse.
Way upgraded, you know, bioweapons. So, but anyway, like the main thing is it's treatable. And the other thing that's really important is that somebody has to be held accountable for all of this, right? Like people knew at the highest levels of government, the FDA, the CDC, they knew what was going on. At Pfizer, they knew what was happening. They got like 1,200 death reports within like 2.5 months of rolling out the vaccine around the world, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't they say anything? Why didn't they go to the FDA and be like, hey, red flags everywhere, you know? No one stopped it, right? And why? So that, you know, heads need to roll. We need to like hang people, whatever it is, like whatever it's I was speaking at Clay Clark's, you know, things and like there's a lot of Christians who have this like feeling that like, let's turn the other cheek, let's be forgiving and everything. But, you know, like Jesus wasn't always like super nice and everything. Like he threw the money changers out, right?
He flipped the tables and he made a whip and was like,
exactly. Right. So, and why is that? Right. So like, this is actually, I think what people need to realize, it's actually like a way of being merciful also, right? Because like people have to know there's consequences and you have to have mercy on all the people who could be harmed if this happens again, right? So you have to have this like consequence where you punish people so that people don't do that same thing again. And I mean, the magnitude of the disaster that's been wrought upon the world and the, you know, the crime against humanity is so huge. I mean, people talk about like the Nazis, right? I mean, and they say, you know, 3 million, 5 million, 6 million Jews killed, right? Whatever the exact number was. If the same death rate from the vaccines applies to the rest of the world, so like in the US, we suspect 1 in 1,000 people have been killed from the vaccines, okay? So like 200,000 minimum, that's like a lower bound, okay? It might be higher. If the same death rate applies to the 5 billion people around the world who were injected, we're talking about 5 million people dead from the vaccines. And that's just like in the last 2 years. I mean, who knows what's gonna happen in the next 10, 20 years. So this is on the scale of atrocities that have happened in the past, right? Like.
Yeah.
Tremendous atrocities. And I don't, you know, like I understand like it hits really close to home, especially for Jews, you know, to talk about the Holocaust. And it's kind of like something that is untouchable, right? Like nothing could ever be that bad. And I get it because they were targeted, right? And this wasn't targeting just one nationality or group. And I don't know if you could say that's better or worse. I mean, it was targeting everyone, right? At least we think so. Although, You could say that some of the variants may have actually been targeted to certain ethnicities because like it's very weird, right? It got released in China and supposedly it was really severe in China in the very beginning. And then next it gets released in Iran, okay? And it like kills a significant portion of their parliament, right? And again, it was like very much more severe of a variant, right, in Iran. And then like, then it seems like there's all these other variants spread around the world. And, you know, I don't know the real story or, you know, what's really going on, you know, with them.
There's just a lot of bad people involved and they knew about.
And so I just want to make sure I'm clear about the whole thing with like how bad it is. Right. Like, like we're talking about like the number of millennials even. And Gen Z, like Gen X, like, who have died from this is like worse than like a world war. It's worse than like, you know, I mean, it's as if we just went to war and like sent all these, you know, young people overseas to fight in a war in the millions, right? And hundreds of thousands of them, you know, perhaps died. But the problem with it is it's not so obvious, right? It's like hidden. It's easy to like sweep it under the rug, which is what's happening now. It's being swept under the rug. And like when people die, it's like, oh, that's not the vaccine, you know, or that's, you know,
something else.
You know, like sometimes 20-year-olds have heart attacks, you know, sometimes 5-year-olds have strokes, and you're like, okay, but like, why do I hear about it like every other day, like another one, right? Like, yeah, I understand, maybe like one in a million, right? Like, sure.
Yeah.
You know, but not at this rate, right? Like, yeah. Sure, sometimes soccer players die on the field, but not like 20, 30 of them in 1 year, right? Like professionals, you know, like maybe one in a decade or something, right? Yeah. Like, we've never seen anything like this before. Anyway, that's kind of what I had to say about that, you know.
I know. Now they're saying there's a new sub variant. I think they're calling it Z. I think I just saw that. The WHO said, oh, there's a new variant now. And Fauci's like, oh, lockdowns again. And so I'm like, oh, great. And we see this stuff and I'm like, people are like, well, you can't say why that they did it. I'm like, okay, we can argue intent. Okay, granted. I'm like, we can't see inside their minds, but I'm like, we can judge based off of actions.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people, they all are friends with one another. There's number one, no accountability in Big Pharma. We know that. And staff and these people and government officials own stocks in these companies.
Yeah.
And then these government officials are pushing it. And you're just like, there's so many conflicts of interest here. If you were in the SEC would investigate these people if they were business owners. This would be like almost insider trading or like worse, because they'd be like, this is a conflict of interest. But then with our health and medicine, people are like, oh no, everybody's good. We should all trust everybody. And you're like, no. That's not what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that is the big problem. It's not just like regular Joes who trust, you know, like everything coming from the FDA and the CDC. It's also like doctors and specialists, right? Like they're not thinking for themselves. I guarantee you, right? Like my patients will come to me and they're like, I took some studies and I asked them to like read them and they just like brush me off, right? Like I took them to my doctor or I took them to my specialist or whatever. No one has any time. And they all trust that like somebody else has done the work. And one thing I just realized, which is crazy as a doctor to actually just realize this after like more than 10 years in practice, like 12 years in practice, okay, plus 3 years of residency. So like 15 years in like doing clinical medicine, I've just now realized in the last few weeks that no one who reviews the studies actually has access to the raw data. Okay. So like the actual data that the pharmaceutical companies gather, like this is what actually happens behind the scenes. They have all this data that's like secret and they keep it in their vault. And it might include some like conflicting data. It might include some research studies that they did that showed that stuff didn't work or that it was harmful and they don't release it. And then they do a couple more studies and then they hit upon a study that shows, oh, that's like the best thing since sliced bread. And they decide, okay, we're going to publish this one. And the way they publish it is they basically have it written up internally by their own people. And then they like give it to the doctors who ran the study and they say, here you go, you can read it and you can sign your name to this, right? And we're going to publish it under your name. Yeah. And basically they can give some like feedback, but they can't like write it themselves. They don't actually write the people who did the studies don't write the studies themselves. Okay. So that's one big red flag. And then the second red flag, you know, the biggest one is that like the data itself isn't available to anyone to look at. It's just like what the pharmaceutical company wrote up. That's what goes to the peer reviewers at the journals. So like that, the paper itself is all the peer reviewers have access to. So it's like the same thing anyone else has access to. Mm-hmm. And so like the doctors like myself, we think that like we trust these people because we think somebody else who's like an expert in their field did all the work and confirmed everything that the pharmaceutical company did and made sure, you know, that this is like a quality study, right? With quality data. There's nothing like that in medicine. It's never done unless you sue the company and you like, there's some like shenanigans or something. And you think like with the Vioxx scandal, right? That happened, you know, 10, 20 years ago when that happened, like you took the company to court because you saw these people dying. And then we were like, what's going on with this drug that was supposedly safe and passed the FDA review? And then you go and you take it to court and then you force discovery. And that means the pharmaceutical companies have to open up their coffers and release all the data. And then when you have independent people actually review the data, they find out that, wow, why didn't you report this? Why didn't you report that? You already knew. You knew. You knew that it was killing people or harming people or whatever. And you like manipulated the data in the studies to cover it up. Okay. And so these companies have all been fined to the tune of billions and billions of dollars in the last 20 years. They're all criminal companies. Okay. Yeah. It's like we're trusting our lives and our health to felons, to criminals, okay? People that, like, a lot of people in America would hesitate to hire a felon. And yet we are taking injections of stuff that felonious companies have produced and given to us. And it's like, literally, like, the people who have done those previous felonies are still the people who are working at the pharmaceutical companies today. No one went to jail. They just got fined. Okay. Like, yeah. So like this whole idea of snake oil salesmen, like, that's what these people are. Okay. Like, the FDA was created to, like, you know, prevent snake oil salesmen from harming people, right? It was supposed to be this review board that, like, prevented all of that, right? And it doesn't do that. It actually allows them. They've actually taken over. The snake oil salesmen have, like, bought out the FDA. It's like they're reviewing themselves. You know, the FDA is in bed with them. They're in bed with the FDA. Mm-hmm. The FDA is essentially, like, just like another department of the pharmaceutical companies. It's paid for by the pharmaceutical companies. And the people who work at the FDA, especially the people in the higher ranks, go into pharma when they retire and get millions of dollars, working on the boards and becoming CEOs and whatever, right? It's just like you pat my back, you know, I pat your, scratch my back, I scratch yours thing, you know? So like you said, it's like incredibly corrupt and people have and no idea. No accountability.
And that's dangerous.
Yes.
Because like I said, if there's something wrong with a drug or like a vaccine or even, like I said, food and stuff like that, because if they're doing this with our drug, with like drugs and stuff, you're like, what else are you allowing on the shelves that shouldn't be on the shelves and stuff? And it's just, you see, like you said, that just a pattern of just, there's no accountability. They got liability protection. And so like people who have reactions and bad reactions like to these drugs and stuff, and that have legitimate, you know, lawsuits, and these big pharma ones are protected, and everybody's, whether it's the government or pharma, it's kind of like they're all in one. There's like, we have the illusion of choice, like, oh, there's like Pfizer, Moderna, but I'm like, they're all pretty much the same people. Yeah. It's the illusion of choice. They're not really a choice because they're all kind of one and the same.
Yeah. And I think that like things like what happened with these like injections, mm-hmm. Yeah. is something way beyond like the Vioxx scandal and other scandals, right? Like somebody at a very high level in the government or the deep state or somewhere, okay, had to have given Pfizer and Moderna like guarantees that like, you know, we're going to cover it all up for you. You know, we control the media, we control everything, right?
Intent to harm is what we're seeing from the actions. And it's like, that's what it's kind of showing. It seems like almost not just an accident, but it's like, it seems like they were intending to harm.
At this point, it's hard to argue that they were not intending to harm, right? Like in the beginning, you could have argued that, they knew something we didn't about this virus, right? Maybe they actually made the virus, right? And maybe they were so afraid of it, they were like, okay, these vaccines are bad, but the virus is way worse. So we got to do what we can, right? And sure, people are going to die, people are going to get sick, but it's going to be better than if they catch the virus. So I could be like, okay, maybe you could give them benefit of doubt in the beginning. But after the first month or two, when you saw like the extent of the harm from the vaccines, even that, you know, benefit of the doubt, which no one might believe anyway, but you can't even give them that anymore, right? Because the data is perfectly crystal clear. It's hard. You can't argue with it. And that's why no one does argue with it, right? Like no one at the FDA, CDC actually addresses like the substantive claims that people make about the vaccines, right? Like we talk about VAERS and we talk about underreporting factor and we talk about like, this is how I calculated how many people I think died from the vaccines. Nobody argues those points or tries to disprove those points. All they do is like attack the person who's saying them, right? And who's like presenting them. They're just like, oh, this is a charlatan. This is a person who's a conspiracy theorist, this part, blah, 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 right? Or they're, you know, anti-Semitic or they're white supremacists or like they just hurl like these you know, it's just name calling, right? And that's the most, one of the most shocking things is that you can't find anyone anywhere to actually mount a defense in favor of the vaccines or like to explain like how you know, everyone like that you approach just like passes the buck to somebody else. They're like, oh, you know, like if you approach like on Twitter, like a infectious disease doctor or something, they're like, oh, well, the Infectious Disease Society of America has like said that they're safe and effective. Like, you know, experts have like experts have determined it, right? Like you're not an expert. You're not even a doctor. You can't even like, you know, evaluate the information for yourself, right? Like, you're not even smart enough. Yeah. You don't have enough you don't have enough knowledge. You don't have enough training to even like have a conversation with me, right? That's what you get from these people. Yeah. But they don't actually explain, like, right? Like, you could explain it and maybe I won't understand everything you say, but you could at least like show that you have some reasoning behind why you think they're mm-hmm. safe and why you think my position is incorrect, that I think they're unsafe. No one anywhere will do that, right? At any level. Because they can't. There's like literally no arguments that they can make against the people who are pointing out all these holes in the narrative, right? So yeah. People like Steve Kirsch, Robert Malone, like, you know, Peter McCullough, all these people, these are like people like Peter McCullough, right? Pierre Corey, Dr. Pierre Corey's associate, another doctor. Anyway, these people are like super highly qualified people, right? Like,
exactly.
They've published more research among them than like 99.9% of people in their fields. Like, these are not quacks. These are not like people who are like, you know, coming from the middle of nowhere who've never been heard from before, and no one's heard of their names. These are like high profile people. Even like, you know, Nobel laureates have spoken about all this stuff, right? Like, and it doesn't matter. Like, no one bats an eye. Like, they're just like, you know, like, you nowadays you can discredit anyone, right? Like, you could have won a Nobel Prize and it's like, oh, it doesn't matter what you're saying, you're just a kook now, you know, you're just like a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't matter if you're like one of the most published people in your field, you know, you're now discredited, right? Yeah. Like, that's what they're doing to these really highly like and if you can do that to them, just imagine like the chilling effect it has on anyone in that field coming forward, because they see that, you know, I'm not as like, you know, prominent as these people, you know, like these are the most prominent people, the most like highly decorated people in my field. And they're being shot down for speaking out.
If they can do it to them, what can they do?
They can do it to anyone, literally anyone. Yeah. So no one's coming forward. And so there's this illusion. And also, like, the people, if people do come forward, it's really hard to break through the mainstream media, like, blockade of any, like, Twitter, Facebook. No one's, like, people who try to say this, who might be somewhat prominent, you know, they can't get the word out, right? It's just a couple of these people, like, you know, these really prominent people have been able to, like, get a strong enough, like, following and, like, enough, like, of a platform in the alternative media. And that they've kind of broken through into like mainstream consciousness enough that the mainstream media feels like they have to tear them down, right? So then they'll publish like a hit piece or something, you know, in the New York Times or whatever, trying to take them down. But everyone else, right, who's trying to speak up, it's like shouting into a void, you know, your voice just gets lost and it doesn't connect to anyone else, right? Because the public square has been taken over by Facebook and Twitter and, you know, these companies that have, I mean, that is the modern public square. And now we have no ability to communicate, you know, the way that we should be able to with the internet, you know? So the internet is so powerful if you allow that power, right? But now, which is why we got to take down these social media companies, you know? There's no two ways about it. They are destroying our freedom in our country, right?
Yeah. I mean, Elon Musk bought the biggest shareholder of Twitter because he's hated these guys for a long time. So I saw a bunch of the CNN people like him being the biggest shareholder now is what we may need to get off this platform. And I'm like, good, we don't want you people. So with him, and if you own the biggest share, it's kind of like, even though it's a passive stake, you're like, Elon Musk, he doesn't like these people either. So I'm interested to see what happens with people who, you know, been taken down off Twitter, if they get put back on, we'll see. But it's just,
I seriously doubt it. I mean, like, this stuff, like, it's the CIA is in bed with Facebook and Twitter and the Department, the Department of Defense, you know, it's just like, the government is in bed with corporations. The corporations are in bed with the government. They're like, it's like, basically you're doing the same thing China's doing, but just doing it in a different way. It looks different, but the outcomes are the same. Mm-hmm. Okay. The control and the outcome is the same. It's just like we've offloaded some of it and we don't call it government. We call it Facebook, right? Like, but they're working hand in hand. Yeah. They're working together. And the final outcome is the same. Just because we have more corporate control of our government just makes us more fascist than China. Okay. Yeah. China is like a totalitarian government we're also totalitarian, but we're more fascist. Like, the definition of fascism is when corporations control your government. That's what fascism is. I mean, people don't realize that. They're just like, fascism is something that's bad. I don't like it. But it's corporate control of your government. Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, we're shooting people in the streets. It's corporate control of the government. And it is bad. It's really bad. Because corporate control of your government means elite control of your government, right? The people who have all the money control your government. Not the not everyone else, not the 99%. And what they do is they try to divide us all the time, right? Like, so that we have all this hatred and animosity between each other. Because if we were not divided, like, we can force change, any change that we want, really easily. If everyone in the country just puts their foot down and is just like, okay, I'm drawing the line here. We need our freedoms back. Yeah. You know, Facebook, we demand freedom of speech. Twitter, you have to let us say what we want. You know, if everyone demanded it with one voice, like together, joined hands and demanded all at once together, the government can't, like, there are not enough guns and tanks and bombs in the world, right? There's not enough hard power in the world to stand against the united will of the people. Okay.
Yep.
It doesn't exist. So
considering that a lot of us have our own guns and weapons, so.
Especially in the US, right? Which is why, which is why the US is a much bigger domino to topple, right? Like, it's a lot easier to do all this, you know, totalitarian nonsense in, you know, north of the border, right? And
because the people can push back, and if they need to, even with like firepower, because of the average American usually.
It's just the threat of it, right? Like, it's not that like people are actually shooting people, but like just the fact that like if we get pissed off enough, right? Like everyone's got a gun. So they're, you know, the people in power are afraid of like revolutionary tendencies in the US, right? Like, people just, you know, U.S. citizens, Americans don't like to take stuff lying down, right? It's like, you know, you can push us so far, but if you push us too far, you know, we're just going to break and we're just going to, like, you know, revolt. You know, it's, you know, we're not just going to lay down our arms and like go away smiling like Canadians or something, right? Like, oh, yeah, sure. Don't worry about it. We're not going to be that polite.
And that's why, even, I mean, a lot, not even just Americans, but even a lot of these people in these other nations who've had these big like rallies and stuff against the mandates. The sad thing is, a lot of them in like the socialist countries, of course, their guns have been taken away, so they don't really have the ability to protect themselves in that sense. But it's like they have that uniting will to not just Americans, but even just people, particularly with these lockdowns and stuff across the world, because they're like, we're sick of this and like we're done with it. They're sick of mandates and passports and lockdowns. And they're like, we just want to go and live our lives like normal. And just, hey, if we get it, fine. If we don't, fine. It's like, we never used to be like terrified, unless you were like, of course, like really older, like, of course, comorbid, like things like the flu or all this other stuff. I'm like, we never used to be scared of this stuff. I'm like, hey, if you eat healthy, a lot of times your body's going to fight some of the stuff off anyways, if you're healthy and stuff. So promoting healthy living and all that. So, but yeah, particularly it's very thankful being an American, because we are like one of the only nations with still the ability for the most part to like protect ourselves. And so that's why the deep state has had a hard time toppling us, the American people, a harder time toppling us because of the threat of that.
they have had a hard time, but like they're like, they have a lot of patience, right? So like they've been chipping away at freedom of speech for like 20 years. Like when I was growing up, like in the 80s, right? In the 90s, I don't think Americans could even imagine, like as a child back then, like freedom of speech was so deeply ingrained in the American like consciousness and ethos. Like, it's been chipped away so much now that like a significant number of Americans think it's okay to like, to strip it away entirely, to like completely get rid of freedom of speech, and just, and it's because they've been like cleverly fooled, right? By like all these like arguments and things. And it's like, it's the same thing the gun lobby is doing, right? They use all these like arguments, and they like, you know, portray things in the wrong light, and they like, you know, they're just very clever at what they do. Right. And, and very slowly, like opinions are changing in the United States very slowly and then very quickly. Right. Like, it seemed really slow and gradual until like the last 5-6 years, like a lot of things are changing really rapidly now. And people, you know, there's significant support for gun control, and there's significant support for like, you know, controlling speech even more than it's being controlled right now, you know, because like they portray it as like white supremacy and like domestic terrorism, and they try to scare people that like that's what this is leading to. The freedom of speech will allow like another, you know, Hitler to arise in America, right? Like
parents don't have a right to say what their kids are taught in school or what's, and we're seeing that with the whole like trans debate and stuff now, which like you said, probably like 20 years ago,
people
nobody would have thought that this would have been that a man, a biological male, could have swam in women's sports and everybody been saying it's fine. I mean, then nobody would have thought of that.
Yeah. Like I'm 40 years old. It blows my mind. Right. And it's like if you fell asleep, you know, even 10 years ago and then woke up today, you'd be like, have I been asleep for 100 years or something, right? Like what the hell has happened in this country, right? Like it's changed so much in such a short period of time. And so like going back to like what's the agenda, right? So like it wasn't just the vaccines that was the agenda. Big part of the agenda was also the lockdowns. And like why, right? I think like it appears to me like the lockdowns, everyone knew they didn't work. They've known that for decades, right? It's not like this was like new information. So like the lockdowns were part of the agenda. That was part of what whoever, you know, the deep state, you can call them, whoever was really in charge, they wanted the lockdowns not for the health of the world, not to stop the virus. What else do lockdowns do? Well, they killed people and they destroyed businesses and they concentrated wealth further at the top, right? So like basically impoverished the majority of people in the world. They were impoverished. You know, they starved, they lost their businesses, they lost their money. All these small and medium-sized businesses shut down. Amazon got all the money, right? So like it accelerated wealth inequality and accelerated the impoverishment of the American people and people around the world. So like that seems to be the agenda, to take away all your possessions, all your wealth, right? And concentrate it, you know, at the top. And so like most people don't have any wealth, and they just have to like work harder and harder to stay ahead, to stay afloat, right? Like you don't even have time to think about protesting about anything, right? You don't even have, you can't even imagine, like most people in this country felt literally forced to get the vaccine, even though they wouldn't have gotten it otherwise, to keep their job, right? Like they're just like, I don't have time. I can't, like, sure, I would rather not, but like I have to. I have to pay my credit card bills. I have to put food on the table. I have to pay my debts. I have to pay for my kids, you know, college, whatever, right? Like so many people depend on me. You know, I'm gonna just take a hit, you know, like if it hurts me, too bad. I don't have the ability to fight it by myself, right? Like no one had the ability to fight it, right? And we didn't give people a chance, right? So like so many people were just like basically coerced to take this thing against their, you know, will. I mean, they wouldn't have done it if they that was just so wrong, right? Like to make jobs dependent on taking, you know, something that didn't even have any benefit for anyone else, right? Like that argument fell flat on its face. Like it didn't even benefit this. It wasn't even a social benefit, right? It was just, it was a supposed personal benefit and a definite personal harm. Like those, that was the risk benefit. It was like individual. So how could it be mandated? It can't be mandated when you're like the only person who'd be harmed is you if you refuse it, right? Like, so the, you know, the agenda was, you know, like a destructive agenda. And so why, right? Because it helps you control people, right? Like the less money and the less time they have to put up, you know, any kind of like resistance, the more control you have, right? The more money the elites have, the better control they have over the society. And so like everything is converging, right? It's the central bank digital currencies, right? Like that will even further control our lives and further and like create this social credit score. And like, if you don't do what the government wants, like they'll take the money out of your account or freeze it. Or like now you can't, you know, like there's so many things you can do with a central bank digital currency. It's like really, truly frightening. Okay. Like, I mean, you can decide what people can buy and not buy. You can decide that, like, if you don't like spend your paycheck within 2 weeks, like it'll just disappear from your account. Right. Like you can, you know, in the name of like, you know, spurring the economy to like grow. Right. Like people are going to be, you know, convinced in all these like you know, nefarious ways, and like with all this like rhetoric and stuff, that the everything is good for them, right? All these changes and all these things are good for them.
And just like, and the 5G towers, I actually heard, I've been watching the news here recently, just seeing what they were talking about, and still a lot of propaganda, but one of the guys who was on Tucker, he was talking about the new 5G towers, and he was talking about, oh, it has nothing to do with the speed of your phone. He's like, oh yeah, it can connect. It can like, it's connected basically to everything, like homes. It can connect even to soil. There's stuff in the soil that can tell you like the, so he said it's the network of everything. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good thing. The network, and it's being able to, and Stephanie was talking about like connected to cameras and all that and stuff. And like you were saying with the cryptocurrency, and I'm like, this is centralization. That's not good.
And you know, like in the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, they don't even try to hide it, right? Like, they're open about it, right? Like they come forward and they're like, this is what we want. Like, you know, you're not going to own anything. You'll be happy. You know, you'll be basically enslaved, right? You'll be living in these little shoe boxes, right? And share everything with everyone else and not have any ownership of anything. And so like it ties into the whole climate agenda and like this huge push for the ESG, right? Like corporate responsibility and like climate change coming to the fore. Like that has been pushed so hard in the last few years, right? That like, you know, everyone's talking about it, right? Like you can't even have a company without talking about it nowadays.
Yeah.
Even the oil companies are like, you know, they have to like, you know, pay homage to, you know, climate change alarmists now. And shoot themselves in the foot. And like, it's incredible. And so that's part of the same agenda, because that is like the thing they've been trying to push on us for decades, try to like scare everyone into like, you know, you know, you can't drive. And so like the reason is that like they want you to be happy, right, with what they're forcing on you, which is how else can you be happy when you don't own anything and you don't make enough money to like buy a steak, unless you're convinced that steak is bad. It's bad for you and it's bad for the world, right? Like literally you will be destroying the planet by eating steak, right? That's what people are getting brainwashed into thinking, right? Like
buy lentils instead to save on inflation. It's like buy an electric car, or it's like take the bus or whatever.
But and even worse than lentils, it's like eventually bugs, right? Like, you know, like not even lentils. Eventually they plan for people to be eating like bug meat.
I know they're healthy. I know they're healthy. Like some of them like crickets and stuff. I'm like, I will probably starve before I eat a bug. I can't stand that going into my mouth and all the way down knowing that it was, I'm like, no.
Oh, they're going to run it through like a bunch of pipes and through like a lab, and it's going to come out looking like a steak, right? and tasting kind of like a steak.
Probably right. They're going to make it look like what it's not. Ew. Cricket burger.
Yeah, no, that's what's coming. Seriously. Yeah. And that, I mean, it's like the next step in this like evolution of like, you know, government food that is killing people, right? Like it's you can't make industrial waste healthy, right? Like the industrial seed oils, the stuff that these things are made out of. Yeah, sure, some of the ingredients might be fine, right? But like a lot of them, it's just like the cheapest junk, right? That, you know, you're trying to make it like taste good. But like if there's one dietary rule that everyone agrees on, it's that processed food is bad. Okay.
Yes.
No one argues with this, and no one can argue with it. All the data shows that the one thing you can say without a doubt, right? Like people might argue about more fat, less fat, you know, more protein, less protein, whatever, carbs, no carbs, right? You can argue about all this stuff, but you can't argue about processed food is bad. That's just, and all this stuff is like becoming more and more and more processed, right? It's like super processed. Yeah. You know, you can't even imagine how processed it is. The amount of processing required to create like a, you know, what is it? Impossible burger, right? It'll blow your mind. I mean, it's just,
I don't want to know what's in that. I've seen the things and I'm like, there's something wrong about that.
Yeah. It's just without a doubt bad for you, right? Like you can't make a coherent argument for it being good for human beings. You know, you can just, but they still try, right? They still convince people that it's good for them. It's better than beef, you know, these impossible burgers. It's,
but says who? Says like the FDA and the CDC or all these other people. And you're like, all these people are saying it's better. And I'm like, I don't know if I trust anything coming out of their mouths. Obviously they're not probably wrong 100% of the time, but I'm like, they're the ones saying it's better.
Yeah, and I think a huge percentage of Americans don't believe what comes out of the mouths of anyone on television anymore, right? Like in the mainstream media or from the government.
It's been propaganda so much.
Yeah. A lot of us don't believe it anymore. And yet we're still putting up with it, right? Why? Yeah. Right? Because literally because like people just don't have time anymore, right? They're just running so fast because of how much inflation has already happened, right? Regardless of how much is going to happen in the future, but like we've already in the last 100 years lost 99.9% of our purchasing power. And like now in the modern world, like in the old days, you could have one breadwinner, right? In the family. And everyone would be, you know, would be able to survive. Fine. Now you need two or three people to support a household, right? All working overtime, right?
Yep.
To be able to afford what, you know, their parents, like with one breadwinner could afford, right? So this is what inflation's done, you know, and people have been made to swallow these bitter pills like they've been like put inside of like ice cream and like, you know, it's a bitter pill, but if I just cover it up with some ice cream and give it to you, you'll take it. And so like all kinds of things, right? Just all kinds of things. Even like a lot of the feminist movement, right? It was just like, it was just to get women to like ask for something. Like I want something that they never wanted before, right? Like I want to work. I want to work, right? Like
Women were content before that. Cause like I said, I hate the feminist movement. I have no people. People are like, oh, so you're anti-woman. I'm like, no, I'm for woman. Feminism has been the worst thing to happen to women. Like almost ever, because like you were saying, cause they were fine. I mean, sometimes women would work outside the home, but for the most part, most of them stayed at home and were fine. And some people, like I said, different things work and it's fine. But I'm like, if you're a mom and you want to stay at home with your kids, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And if the majority of them want to do it, then so be it. And also, like I said, in the Christian community, because I am a Christian, but I've also been upset at how in the church, you know, they talk about a lot of them push the feministic stuff and they bring up the Proverbs 31 woman. And I'm like, take a step back for a second. She took care of her family. She took care of her house. And then because, I mean, she was like, I'm a badass. I mean, she had time to do everything. Then she went out and was like taking care of the widows and the orphans. And then she apparently had like a real estate business or something. So it's like, it's a great story. And I'm like, but she was able to do all that. But I'm like, if you're a woman and can't, it's okay. If all you can do is like take care of your family and that's what you want to do, that's such a joy.
Right? Like back then, you can imagine what the lifetime of like the life journey of a woman would be like. Mm-hmm. She would be like really busy when she was young, raising all these kids. Right. Then the kids would grow up and they would like help take care of her and her family. Yeah. And like even her husband might not really have to work because the kids would kind of be supporting all of them. Right. So like they move into a different phase of their life where now they're not like her daughters-in-law would be like taking care of her house for her, right? Yep. This is how it used to work. And then she would like go out and do all these other things, right? So it's like there were phases of life and people did things at certain times. And there was like you can't have a society without division of labor, okay? You need people to take care of your kids. You can't like what, you know, has been tried in some like communist societies. You can't have kids. Like you can't just like, they're not like little puppies. You can't just put them in like an orphanage and just have like one lady raise all the kids in the country. And like everyone else is working in the factories, right? Like that's not how human beings work. You need a nuclear family. You need a mom and a dad.
Multi-generational. Yep. But the deep state has tried to destroy that. Yep.
And yeah. So definitely. I totally agree with you. We're definitely on the same page. I mean, and the problem I think that women don't understand and men don't understand is that like you lose your womanhood and your manhood when you try to do things that are outside of your gender role, honestly. Right.
Like, yes, exactly.
So there's a femininity, right, which is really attractive to masculinity, like masculine and feminine, right? Masculinity, femininity, like those are nice things, right? Like when you see somebody who's really feminine, it's attractive if you're a man. And if a woman sees somebody who's really masculine, that attracts her, right? So these are two things that, like what we're doing is actually the opposite of diversity, right? So like we have this whole like idea that like we want to be diverse, but actually what we're aiming for is the end of diversity, like no more races, no more like genders. Everyone is the same and there's no difference, right? Like all societies are the same. All genders are the same. Like there's just like this light brown colored, you know, person in the world, you know, populating the whole earth. And you can't tell whether they're a man or a woman or what, right? Yeah. So like, is that diverse? That's the opposite of a diverse. That's like everything being exactly the same. So true diversity is like difference. Okay. You got to have differences.
Exactly. And there's beauty in the differences in men and women. There's beauty in the differences. And no, number one, if we weren't different in some aspects, we wouldn't be able to live any longer on this earth after everybody died. And so we know that. So I'm like, there's some things that just can't change biologically. And I'm like, we need to keep that going if we want to keep the human race going. I'm just saying. And so, and I will say also on that note, all these people out here who are talking about like, you know, like, oh, just there's no men, there's women, we're just all people. I'm like, okay, if you've ever, you know, been with somebody, you've noticed the differences in them in order to be with that person in a certain way. So I'm just saying at some point you do look at those differences and be like, ooh, I like. So I'm just saying,
it is sad. Like it's sad when like sometimes like I've seen a few people like on YouTube or whatever, where it'll be like a couple, like a young couple, really young, right? Like teenagers.
Yeah.
And they look very similar, like a boy and a girl, right? And they're both wearing makeup. They both have long hair. Like they're looking very similar. And it's just like so bizarre to me. It's like, are you just like friends? Like, how can you be a couple? Like there's no, like, it's such a big turnoff for me, but like they think it's normal, right? They think it's
welcome
normal
to my generation. Like, 20-year-olds, I see the stuff that they do and I'm like, and the stuff that they love, like I said, well, of course they were one of the first to race to get the vaccines whenever they first, the injections, whenever they first came out. That's why I'm actually not in college this semester, because we didn't have a vaccine mandate, but the PCR test, we had to take one weekly. And I'm like, I'm not doing that either. So that's why I'm actually working this semester. I'm like, I only had one semester left, but I'm like, I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'll finish classes online, but I'm like, I'm not going to get a thing stuck up my nose. Cause I'm like, I know what's on those things and it's not good.
And especially once a week, right? Over and over and over again.
And I'm like, you know?
There was nothing on it, right? Like it would still probably damage your
But the fact that there's ethylene oxide on it, and you're like, that up next to the blood-brain barrier, it's carcinogenic and mutagenic, and they use some of the stuff that's in this stuff and like
but
antifreeze.
Just like the physical like trauma of just like poking such a sensitive area over and over
again. I have anxiety. Right? Yeah, I've only ever had one test, and I'm telling you, I had like a panic attack after it. And so I was like, I can't do this. And that's why I wore a mask for a little bit, but that was before we were awake. And we woke up last year in January. So thankfully, and so, but it's like, I couldn't do the whole mask thing. Cause I have anxiety and social anxiety and stuff like that. And I'm like, I couldn't do it. And it was like hyperventilation and stuff. And I'm like, this is not good for my body or my brain.
Yeah. The masking thing, that was the other thing that was really pushed really hard. And I think in retrospect, the whole idea there was just to like encourage people to shut up. Right. Like it's like literally like a muzzle to like, you know, stop you from speaking and, you know, connecting with other people and sharing with, you know, other people. And also like, you know, you can't really see what the expressions on people's faces.
I know, and I love to smile, so I hated it. So I'm like, I love smiling at people. I know.
Yeah.
And
it's like exactly. I'm smiling. You know, it's like people are telling each other, I'm smiling right now.
Smile with your eyes. Smile. Yeah. I think that was the thing they were saying. Smile with your eyes, and you're like, you're going to look like Hannibal Lecter if you do that. Like whenever you can't see the face. Seriously.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, but it's just been a total deep agenda from the beginning. And like I said, in the beginning, we could have said, okay, maybe they really didn't know. But after all this time that has passed, we've seen what's happened with the injections. Now they're trying to push the mandates again, masks, all that. They've known for a long time that this stuff hasn't worked. And we can look back and we're like, in the beginning, we could have given you the benefit of the doubt. Granted. Okay. Now, though, we're like, you knew this. And some of the documents now that we have, we're like, you knew this way before then. So why did you still push this stuff? And that's the questions. It's like, did you really have your like intent to harm? And then that's where the stuff comes in. Oh, that's the stuff where, it's like some hangings in the public square might be warranted.
Yeah. I just don't know what's going to happen next. Right. So you know, is it going to be another virus? Is it like, you know, so like they do kind of like, you know, like they did Event 201, right? So they, like now you can kind of like look for like what they're saying is going to come next, right? And maybe like plan for it. So like, you know, you know, Gates, you know, was warning about smallpox, possibly. Smallpox, I can tell you, if that was released, and it can actually be created in a lab now, right? So the horsepox virus, I think it was actually created from scratch in 2012, just from the genetic information. And we have the full genome of smallpox, right? Like, it's publicly available. Like, technically, like, each organization is only supposed to have access to, like, 20% at a time. But you can imagine if, like, five different people have access to 20%, you know, a bad actor can get together and, like, you know, combine them all, right? And create smallpox. But smallpox, I mean, that is like a terrible looking disease. I mean, the rash and the stuff that happens on you is like horrifying looking, and it's lethal. I mean, the lethality is like 30-50%. I mean, it's really, really lethal. And it's contagious. And I mean, it's like, if that was released, that would be horrifying. So could that be next? Could like Cyber Polygon be like, you know, forecasting what's going to happen next, where they take down the internet, you know? And then, you know, if they did, I would say that would help them to like control the internet, right? Like, what's the end game there is to like get rid of all these alternative media sites. Like, alternative media is so powerful now. I mean, it's like overtaken mainstream media, right? Yep. Like, Joe Rogan gets like 11 million viewers, right? I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, he gets 10 times or like, or 20, 30 times more viewers than like mainstream media outlets. Maybe in some case, like 100 times more, right? Like, some of these outlets get like, you know, in the hundreds of thousands. He's getting in the millions, tens of millions of views. So like, what's the next step? Like, how do they prevent people from talking when like the centralized like internet companies are no longer doing it for them? They're no longer cutting it. Now people are bypassing, you know, YouTube and Facebook and all these things and communicating on alternative media sites. So the next step is like, you got to threaten the internet itself so severely, right? Like, with such a bad virus that like everyone's like, okay, we have to like have like digital ID and, you know, identity, you know, it's almost like know your customer, like KYC laws may be instituted for just plain old access to the internet, right? Like, you may not even be able to access the internet after that happens without going through, like, you know, jumping through a bunch of hoops. And the purpose there would be that, like, okay, now we can deny people access very easily, right? Like, if we want to deny Joe Rogan access to the internet, we don't even have to explain it, right? Like, I just lost my PayPal account. They didn't even explain it. They were just like, security reasons, you know? We can't tell you anymore. You know, it's like, what did the, you know, did somebody from the CIA call you up and they're like, you know, cut his account? I mean, it's like, if it was on the up and up, they would explain to me what the hell is going on, so I could like explain to them if they're mistaken. But like,
if they have nothing to hide, they'd let you see everything and be like, oh yeah, this is the reason we did it.
This is the reason we pulled your account. And like, can you explain yourself or not? Or like, we're sure you can't explain yourself, but here you go. This is what you did. Okay. This is why we pulled it. How can they not even tell you, right? And sure, they're a private company, but the problem is that they're providing access to like things that people need. Like, nowadays, digital access is like, it's almost like being allowed to walk down the street and breathe the air, right? Like, it's like, you know, being like, you can't, like, people are being cut off from economic activity, right? They're not being allowed to work, right? Like, because the world has become digitalized, right? And because so much of our economic activity has become digitized now, like some people will obviously work entirely online. And then you just cut off their livelihood, right? Like, completely. Like, no, you can't take payments anymore. Sorry. What do I do now? Do I go and build houses now? Like, I've spent my whole life, like, you know, learning how to be a programmer or whatever, or like learning how to do, you know, stuff online and learning how to create value online. Yeah. And now what, you want me to go and be a farmer? You know, like
change your profession.
No, it's just, it's evil. It's utterly evil. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they want to take our lives, right? And our liberty, right? Yep. Our freedom. This is enslavement. Like, people don't often put that label on it, but it's, we're returning to slavery. For most of human history, the vast majority of human, like, significant numbers of human beings have been enslaved for most of human history. It's been around since the beginning for tens of thousands of years, right?
And
it was called by different names, right? Maybe they were called slaves, maybe they were called like indentured servants, maybe they were called, you know, whatever, right? It was called something different in different societies, but it's all just different names for the same thing. Okay. And whatever they're going to call it now, maybe they'll call it universal basic income, the next time it comes around. But it's going to be slavery. All right. You got to give things the their proper names, you know, that point to the reality of what they actually are, you know, instead of like trying to obfuscate and obscure like the reality with just like they're just lies, right? Like euphemisms. It's just another way of lying, right? And so this is how they're going to convince us, by giving us these feel good euphemisms, right? Like it's just you know, whatever, it's for your own good. But it is slavery. They're aiming for slavery.
Yeah. Well, don't exactly know what the future is going to hold, but hopefully just keep waking up, you know, American people, and just at least keep pushing back. I don't know whether we're going to win or lose, but it's like, hey, as long as we keep trying to push back and stuff, it's like, that's the best we can do.
People who believe in like something beyond this world and this life, right? Mm-hmm. Like the stakes are like greater than what happens, right? Like the stakes are eternal, right? So it doesn't really matter if you win or lose in this world, right? Like what matters is that you played the game and you did what God wanted you to do, and you fought for what was right, and you fought for the truth. And then, you know, God decides what the outcome is, right? Like these people, you know, all the enemies, they don't actually create the outcome. They don't have any power to create the outcome. That's all in God's hands. So God will do whatever he wants, and he wants us to, you know, the test is, are you going to do the right thing or not? Like the outcome's already decided, right? Like God is in charge, and he will do what he wants with the world. And, you know, for people who are fighting for the truth and for what's right, the outcome will be better for them, right? Even if it looks like it's bad, you know, in the long run, it'll end up benefiting them either in this world or in the next world. You'll be benefited, you know, by whatever happens to you. So I think it is important to leave things on a positive note.
God wins.
Yes, absolutely. And the believers win. And you know, there's no, you can't outsmart God, right? Like you can't fight against God.
I know. These deep state people and their evilness and stuff, it's like, you all have already lost. So
exactly. Yeah. You've lost just by the fact that
you can do a lot of bad stuff, but I'm like, you've already lost. Cause like you said, God has already
In the ultimate evaluation of things, they're only harming themselves, right? Like it may appear that they're harming us, but they're not actually harming us. So like, even if something bad happens to a believer, right, it ends up benefiting them. That's what's so wonderful about being a believer, is that like the things that look like they're bad in this world actually benefit you, right? Like putting up with them, being patient, you know, doing what God wants you to do, turning to him and asking for help. Like you benefit from all the bad stuff that happens, right? If you do what you're supposed to do when it happens to you. And the people who do wrong, they only harm themselves in the final analysis, right? So certainly it is important to remind people and to hold the line and, you know, be strong in your faith and not let people you know, put you down. And, you know, because even people who have faith, it's easy to forget, right? Like you have to keep reminding yourself every day, every hour, every minute, to make yourself stronger. So, yeah.
Yep. God wins in the end. So, woo! Thanks so much for coming on, Dr. Hyder. Oh, it's been such a great conversation, talking about all the COVID stuff. And I'm like I said, hold the line and hopefully we'll get strong enough and then push back the line, push back.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much. It's been so great talking to you, Dr. Hyder.
You're welcome.
Hello, fellow Patriots, and thank you all for watching today's episode. I would also like to thank the sponsor for this episode today, Hero Soap Company. Handmade in the USA, these high-quality soaps smell absolutely amazing and get the job done. My personal favorite is the lavender scent, and there are multiple scents to choose from, depending on your own mood and preference. A portion of all sales also are donated to charities focused on helping veterans and first responders. From bar soap to body wash, shower accessories, and more, there are multiple options to choose from, and you will be supporting some amazing patriots at the same time. Go to herosoapcompany.com and use promo code Hannah to get 10% off your order. There are so many amazing patriot businesses out there in America today, and we all need to support them so that together we can defund the deep state and refund the kingdom. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood patriot Hannah signing off, and remember, stay encouraged. Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.